morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson and Southern Arizona's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Buckle up and sit tight, a full hour ahead. Looking forward to it. Let me give you the lay of the land and we'll jump right in. ASU President Dr. Michael Crow is our first guest here momentarily. We're going to talk about the governor's signing of SB 1453, allowing community colleges to provide four-year degrees should they choose and should they go through a period of review. We're going to talk about that and so much more with ASU President Dr. Michael Crow. Governor Doug Ducey, late April, called on the U.S. Department of Defense to take prompt action to address Pentagon-related groundwater contamination near Arizona's military installations, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base here in Tucson being one of them. We'll talk to the director of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, Misael Cabrera, to discuss that groundwater contamination later this morning. Dr. Michael Crow, good morning to you, sir. Thanks for being on with us. How are you?
Doing all right, Zach. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. We're going to cover a lot of ground this morning, and that's always our hope. But let's start with the current event topic. A few words, if you might, on the governor's signature of SB 1453 just a couple of days ago, allowing for community colleges to provide four-year degrees. Now, it's not a free-for-all. There's a lot of kind of rules around it. Why did that happen? What will it mean? And what's your position on that signature?
Well, Zach, I think one of the things that people need to do is update their logic about what the workforce needs of the future will be. And so what we need is a broadly scoped workforce, but we also are going to need more people trained at the level of college than we've ever needed in the past. That's accelerating rapidly. The demand for college graduates far exceeds the supply at the moment nationally and locally. Also in Arizona, we have a less well-educated population than the states that we're competing against, Colorado, Texas, Utah, other places. And so, and then finally, the principal economic competitors that we have globally have caught and surpassed the U.S. in production of college graduates as trained workers going forward. And so anything that we can do that can enhance the ability of people to have pathways to education after high school, we need to do. And in this case, I think the bill is set up in a way where we're going to work together and be efficient and be effective and so forth and so on. So if we can implement it correctly, it will be a net benefit to the people of Arizona and a net benefit to the future competitiveness of Arizona.
The Board of Regents submitted a letter a little ways back. The chair of the board is not at this point giving a lot of comment, but had submitted a letter to the governor basically saying, look, in the case of Arizona State University, they called out ASU specifically, we've seen over the last number of years ASU enrollment go up, and we've seen across the state enrollment in community colleges go down as an argument against the signing of this legislation. Is that the trend that you are seeing across the state? Is that a good thing? And what does it say about ASU?
Well, I mean, I think so enrollment at ASU is at record levels. We graduated the largest spring semester graduation class ever this week, 18 or 19,000 graduated from ASU. Demand for all the things that we're doing is accelerating. Community colleges have been a little bit harder hit during the pandemic, but setting that aside, you know, I think that what we need to do here is we have to find ways for this plan to work. In the other 20-plus states where they have given the authority of community colleges to give baccalaureate degrees, it hasn't been particularly successful. And it has also led to other issues at the community college level and all kinds of other things. And so I think what's in the Arizona bill, in the SB 1453 bill, is that we've got to work together, plan together, you know, sort of leverage our assets together. And so I'm excited about those possibilities so that we could do this in a superior way. And hopefully we can find ways to help people to, you know, move forward with educational opportunities after they finish high school. Of course, we've got to get everybody through high school. I won't begin to tell you what the workforce opportunities are for high school dropouts going forward, but you can't even join the military if you're a high school dropout in the United States.
Wow. Yeah, within the last 24 hours, Dr. Crow, president of Arizona State University, with us right now, Pima Community College's Chancellor Lee Lambert, has come out and said, look, PCC, we're not ready to do this, even if we wanted to. We're not even sure we want to. We like our relationship with the three state universities as it exists. That just came out in our local news, Dr. Crow. So many see this as something that's more of a rural option than per se the kind of the existing larger university, larger city relationships. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Dr. Crow, within the last month, U of A president Bobby Robbins has become a little bit more vocal about the vaccine passport idea, of becoming a little more top-down, heavy-handed. I don't mean that in a negative way, about requiring vaccines for ASU students on campus. Where is ASU on that? And then give us a look at commencement and convocation at ASU.
Yeah, so on the vaccine, we see this as a useful tool to the management of the pandemic. We've gotten, you know, 3/4 of our staff are already vaccinated. Thousands of our students are already vaccinated. Our expectation is that people are going to take care of themselves, protect others, and they're going to use this vaccine technology as a way to help them to be able to do that. So we have an expectation. I don't know where we're going to end up for the fall semester, other than we've got, you know, a really good working environment right now. It's working well right now. We're hoping that that can continue. We're hoping that the virus numbers in Arizona can get lower than they are, because if they don't go lower than they are, then we're going to be with this thing for years and years and years to come, which is going to be bad. And so hopefully they'll continue to go down, although they've been flat for the last many weeks. In terms of graduation, we've had a great semester, a great outcome to our academic year, 18,000-19,000 graduates. We've had 50 or so little convocations in our colleges and our schools. Those have been fantastic. People have been able to get together. So we're excited about all that. And there's just a lot of energy, because our students are going on to medical school, graduate school. They're being hired. They're going into the military. I mean, all things about the country are still going forward. And the people that we're producing from Arizona State University, I mean, the market couldn't be hotter in all of the things that they're trying to do. I mean, it's really quite remarkable to see.
What do you think the phase back in plan of in-person classes, people in stadiums, a quick update on that? Do you hope there will be lesser restrictions on number of people in rooms and stadiums going into the fall, or is that still a bit unclear at this point?
Well, right now we're planning for what we call a new normal, which is everybody here, everybody moving forward, and us managing our way through this. And so we're confident that we can continue to improve our management of operations during this pandemic. We were successful in the last academic year at doing that and kept everything going. And so our plan right now is full reassembly with adjustments as necessary. So that's our plan going forward.
Dr. Crow, president of Arizona State University, the Board of Regents has also been forwarding what they call a new economy initiative, which is really looking at the strengths of each of the state universities. And we'll talk about this, I think, a little bit in our second and last segment together. But tell us about the ASU Manufacturing Hub for Semiconductors and this national microelectronics network that you're a part of.
Well, one of the things that the country's made a decision on in the last year is to, and I think wisely, return critical industries to U.S.-based manufacturing and U.S.-based research. So that means all of our allies that are in the semiconductor manufacturing business, all of the main manufacturers on the planet that work with us, are all going to be building new foundries and new factories and new supply chains here in the U.S. The TSMC, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, is building a big initiative in Phoenix. Intel in Phoenix has decided to expand. Others are looking. Probably 40 or 50 of these things will occur. Thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs and hundreds of billions of dollars of business around these critical chips. And so in addition, it turns out that the government's going to establish a new network of research hubs, and we're going to be winning one of these for Metro Phoenix. It's going to be a big deal, sort of on the scale of a little national laboratory. There'll be three of them. So we're going to see this extending. And then all of this then moves through the Sun Corridor, impacts Tucson. The supply chains, the research partnerships are going to affect the entire Sun Corridor. Tucson's going to be impacted by this. Phoenix is going to be impacted by this. And Arizona is going to end up being the semiconductor capital, not only manufacturing, but research for the planet. And that's going to be a very, very good position for us to be in.
Yeah, Dr. Crow, I don't think anything that you just said there in the last 10 seconds is hyperbolic. I think that you're absolutely right. Arizona has done an excellent job, certainly I think with the leadership of ASU in this particular case, of really positioning as the semiconductor hub of our country and potentially even the world.
Which is partly why we grew engineering from 6,000 students to 25,000 students in the last 10 years, for instance.
It's huge. Dr. Crow, president of Arizona State University, when we come back, kind of tied to this, Dr. Crow, the last number I saw is that the Phoenix area accounts for about 70% of the economic output in the state of Arizona. Certainly the rest of the state would like to probably see a greater than 30% share. And certainly our non-urban areas of Arizona, our rural areas, would like to see more economic growth and development. How do we get there? What is the role of ASU and our state universities in acting on the 7 shared public values identified in the Arizona We Want? We'll zoom out a little bit from just ASU updates, talk about ASU and the state of Arizona when we come back here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser and Dr. Crow, president of ASU. 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Again, we are here in the 1030 The Voice studios, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, and this morning with Dr. Michael Crow, president of Arizona State University. Dr. Crow, in the report from the Center for the Future of Arizona in their collaboration with Gallup, a statewide poll, really shaping Arizona's agenda for the Arizona we want, came up with really seven shared public values. In my mind, it ties back to something you've shared on the show before of Arizona's shift from a natural resources state to a human resources state. What is the role of Arizona State University and our state universities at large in helping Arizona move towards that agenda?
Well, Zach, that report, that survey from the Center for the Future of Arizona is fantastic because it does something that the media has not found a way to do, which is to stop talking only negative. They're just negative, 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 negative. And so it's just terrible at the national level. And so what the survey does is it identifies those areas where Arizonans have common intent, common purpose, common goals. And so one of those areas is, you know, jobs with dignity for everyone. Well, if we're going to do that, then we're going to have to work as universities to be more meaningfully connected to not just the few students that can come to the universities as students, but through all kinds of programs, online programs, special learning programs, special ways that we work with workers, special ways that we work with teachers and families. I mean, just working with everyone. How do you help everyone to prepare for this rapidly evolving economy around the world that then we want to be the most competitive in that? And you know, workforce development and learner development and family development, you know, those are really, really important things. And so the university's got to be more things to more people across the entirety of the state. And that's what we're working to do. And that's a shared objective. It's a shared public value.
The same report there, the Arizona We Want, really points to, and I mentioned a number in the first segment, the Metro Phoenix area really is 70% of the GDP, economic output, of the economic driving, however you want to say it, of this state. I'm sure my friends up in Flagstaff and certainly my friends here in Southern Arizona are asking often the question, when does our share go beyond 30%? When do we start seeing economic opportunity built across the state? You've sort of touched on it already, but how do we make sure everyone in Arizona has opportunity no matter where they live in Arizona?
Well, we have to move into modern thinking. So we have to understand that, for instance, you know, the economy, as fantastic as it has been historically, can't be built on only the same things. It's got to be expanding. So, for instance, in areas related to climate adaptation, there's huge opportunities with electric vehicle technologies, carbon capture technologies, water technologies, all new industries, whole ways to change the energy system and the energy grid. So there's jobs there. There's jobs in what we were talking about earlier with microchips and other kinds of things. But even more important than that, there are immense opportunities if we can get the workforce enabled through learning enhancements, if we can connect everybody through high-speed internet. It doesn't make any difference whether you're living in Yavapai County or Apache County or wherever you happen to be throughout Arizona. You'll have access to the main workflow, the main work stream. You'll be able to be involved in design projects or manufacturing projects or anything. You'll be able to make your own stuff and market your own stuff and make stuff happen. Run your own business. I mean, we're doing a lot of that now, but we just need to be doing it, you know, 10, 20, 30 times more than we have. And so we need to be laying down those foundations, and that's what the people of Arizona want.
Dr. Crow, president of Arizona State University, you had mentioned around the new economy initiative, and I think it ties back into what you're talking about, how really ASU's strengths now nationally and globally around microelectronics and semiconductors is going to have a filter down effect geographically down the Sun Corridor. The Board of Regents has really outlined that, and we know this to some extent, Southern Arizona, a strength in mining and biosciences and space tech and aerospace and defense. What does it look like for Southern Arizona as a part of this statewide strategy to lean in even more in those things? And if we do that well, what does that mean for you guys up in Phoenix? We don't talk about that angle as much, but what does that look like across the state, Dr. Crow?
Well, all those sectors are present throughout the Sun Corridor, and the Sun Corridor, which runs basically from Prescott to Nogales, along the I-17 and the I-19, it's an unbelievably beautiful place where people want to be, where lives can move forward, where we haven't learned to work together as well as we could, but that corridor, the I-17, the I-19 corridor, the Sun Corridor, could be the place where space technology becomes, infinitely bigger than it presently is. The whole thing about space technology, all things astronautic, that is off the Earth, are going to be booming in the decades ahead. Same with electronics, the same with biotech. There's great biotech things going on in Tucson. There's great biotech things going on in Phoenix, new companies being spun out, new things that are happening. And then if you look at healthcare and well-being and life outcomes, an area where Tucson in particular is one of the leading places in the world, the industrial opportunities and the commercial development opportunities, the economic opportunities there are significant with new technologies and new systems and new ways to connect to people and so forth and so on. So I just think that the whole corridor has massive opportunity if we can just start thinking a little bit more together.
We have 2 minutes left, Dr. Crow, but you mentioned how you strategically increased the output of students with certain degrees, in this case engineering, which in turn created a move of companies in who wanted engineering talent. We talk a lot about how young professionals and those graduating college are still unsure of whether Arizona can be a place to call home. Are you seeing that pipeline being developed at ASU where you are creating talent, the jobs come in for the talent, and there's some stickiness there? Are we keeping talent from ASU in Arizona?
We are, but not to the extent that we should. So we're keeping most, but we should be keeping almost all because of the opportunities that are here. And what people don't realize is that stickiness is a function of the feeling that you can raise your family here, the feeling that you've got opportunity to be advanced. And the Center for the Future of Arizona survey highlights these as some areas for concern. We can work on all these things. What Arizona needs to be, it is a very welcoming place, but it needs to be perceived to be a very welcoming place to young college graduates from outside of Arizona. And that's where we don't do very well. We don't do well at attracting college graduates under the age of 30. We attract college graduates over the age of 50 or over the age of 60. We need younger workers. And to do that, we have to be perceived to be an open, caring, modern place more than we are by some of those people. And I think we are that. We're not seen as that, and we need to figure out how to project that and create the environments where that can happen.
Absolutely. Dr. Crow, president of Arizona State University, we'll leave it there for now, but always grateful for your time and your words here for Tucson, Southern Arizona, and your work across the state and really the planet, as we discovered today. Dr. Crow, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for your time with us.
All right. Thanks, Zach. Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir. We're going to head to our bottom of the hour news break. Don't forget, on the other side, the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, has called on the Department of Defense nationally to start looking at, here in our state, some groundwater pollution surrounding four of our military bases. Of course, ours here in Tucson, the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. We'll talk to the director of Arizona's Department of Environmental Quality, Misael Cabrera, later in the hour. Talk about what we're doing here at a state level going forward on that. So we'll get an update on PFAs and more. We'll be right back after a short break. Visit some of our great sponsors who make the dream work on this program. Some news for you here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 1030, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning again to you if you're just joining us. We're here in the 1030 The Voice studios here in Tucson, broadcasting to all of Tucson and Southern Arizona. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just wrapped up it's almost a monthly, and we're grateful for that, conversation and update with ASU President Dr. Michael Crow. We got a bit of a university and higher ed update from him, especially related to SB, is it 1453, the governor signed, allowing community colleges to start with some, you know, restrictions and guidelines, providing four-year degrees if they choose and it makes sense. So we discussed that and so much more. You can always find us on the podcast. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. You can find the podcast on the KVOI.com website. If you ever miss anything, you can binge listen on the other side, like I do podcasts on the weekend when I'm cleaning or hanging out. So you can always find us that way. You know, I thought it was funny, and Dr. Crow usually fires these things off pretty quick if you're not listening quickly enough, but I did catch this one where he said that Arizona is a great state for attracting those 60 plus with college degrees, but not 30 plus. And he's not wrong. And the intergenerationalness of this state is one of the things that I love about this state. But, you know, he'll say things without cracking a smile. They go, oh, that was interesting. But, you know, he's right. Among college educated millennials, Arizonans age 24 to 40 with at least a bachelor's degree in this Gallup statewide survey that was just released. Less than half of that, 47%, agree that the state is the perfect place for them, a concern for leaders trying to retain Arizona's young talent. And I was talking with someone on social media yesterday, because I had posted, I'm the executive director of a young professional focused organization called Tucson Young Professionals. We're closing on 700 members, and these are folks 21 to 45. We're now the largest young professional organization in the state of Arizona. So take that, Phoenix. It's actually here in Tucson. And someone commented and said, you know, look, we hear your updates, and Zach, this is awesome that this organization has grown to 700 members. But we also hear about job shortages. We hear about young professionals who are leaving. You've got 700 folks, and there's thousands more. There really are. The young professionals are in Tucson who are here. I don't understand. Who is wrong? And my answer is nobody's wrong. We have some realities here in Tucson and Southern Arizona, one of which is if you are an entry-level worker in your first or second job out of college, there's some decent opportunity for you. And then if you're in your senior years of your career, or you're you are in the senior level of leadership in your sector, there's also some here for you. But that middle left in the Great Recession, and A, those folks haven't returned, and B, those type of jobs haven't returned. And I'm talking about the part of your career where you're getting paid enough and there's enough opportunity to raise a family and have a career, not just start and end. And I hear a lot of people in Tucson say, that is what it is. Tucson is a boomerang place. Now stop talking about it and be okay with that. I'm not going to stop talking about it. And I'm not okay with it. And what we see is that when young professionals get onward in their career and they're asking, can I afford to live where I live? Is there opportunity to succeed where I live? And how's the quality of life? As our young professionals get older, we're seeing the answers to those questions become less certain. And that is the point where you start to see that drain continue. Now, the data is looking better and better. 5-6 years ago, 80%+ of college graduates from the University of Arizona were leaving Tucson, were leaving the state. Those numbers are better. But we are in a period of flux and transition in this state where we have grown as a Sunbelt community by being low cost, low wage, low service. It's not going to cut it for the future. And if we can't locally get that affordability, opportunity, quality of life combination right, we're going to continue to see these numbers where less than half of college educated young people say, the state is beautiful, right? I love getting to hike in the mountains. I love the sunset. I love the sunrise. But the rest of it doesn't work for me. You know, as Dr. Crow said, we want those who are college educated and are 60 plus to move here and be here. And we want those who are 20 and 30 with a college age with a college degree to be here. And that's not saying that college degrees are the, you know, are the silver bullet or anything. We've got a great community college system here. We need a diverse workforce. There's no bias or skewing towards college educated folks, but they are a data point that is important. So he slipped that in there. I thought I would comment on that. We're going to go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about Governor Ducey asking the Department of Defense to start looking into some groundwater contamination and pollution, PFAS, in our groundwater around four military installations here in Arizona, one of which is Davis Monthan. The director of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality is on with us after a short break, Misael Cabrera, to talk about Davis Monthan specifically, what we're doing across the state to mitigate some of this groundwater contamination and pollution. We'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser returns in a minute.
From Oro Valley to Vail and everywhere in between, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127, Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Zach Yenser here back in the 1030 The Voice studios for our final segment of this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. In an April 27th letter to Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, Governor Ducey requested the department to identify and treat water in Arizona contaminated in the area surrounding four DOD installations and to prevent additional human exposure to PFAS from other DOD facilities in Arizona. Of one of which of those four is the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. To give us an update on that and work so far is the director of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, Misael Cabrera. Sir, thank you for being with us this morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me, Zach.
Absolutely. So I practiced this word a lot, but I'm gonna ask you to say it. Well, what are PFAS? And tell us about the situation here in Tucson, specific to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. What's the situation?
So PFAS is actually a family of compounds, and that family of compounds is poly and perfluoral alkyl substances. They're human-made chemicals that are used in a wide variety of products, including some clothing, containers that hold chemicals, and in particular, they're contained in firefighting foam called aqueous film forming foam. It's a very effective firefighting tool that has relatively high concentrations of PFAS compounds. Within that family of compounds, there's a subset that EPA has been studying, and that subset of compounds have been found to be harmful to human health at extremely low concentrations. And we have been finding these compounds all across the country in various media. In particular to Arizona, we've been finding these compounds in groundwater, and we're finding it in groundwater near locations where the legacy aqueous film-forming foam, or AFFF, has been used. And so we're finding compounds in groundwater near the Tucson airport. We're finding it near Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Luke Air Force Base, and in other areas across the state.
With Misael Cabrera this morning, the director of Arizona's Department of Environmental Quality. When the governor's press release says known impacts to groundwater, what does that look like specifically in Tucson? What are the concerns, and what is your department able to do to take some action on that, if anything?
So we have observed, in particular in Tucson, some of the highest concentrations of PFAS compounds in all the state. So EPA has issued a health advisory level for PFAS compounds, and that's 70 parts per trillion. It's a very small amount. In fact, it's about one drop in 18 million gallons of water. And so that is the health advisory level. There's not a regulatory standard or a legal standard yet. EPA is working on that. But we have found concentrations near the Tucson Airport and near Davis-Monthan Air Force Base above 1,000 parts per trillion. And so the first thing that we did is we reached out back in, I believe it was late 2018 or 2019, to the federal government, asking them to amend a cooperative agreement by which we could get out there and do the work, and then the federal government would reimburse us. That is a system that works often. They did not respond to that request. And so in particular with Davis-Monthan, where we have a plume of PFAS compounds headed northwest towards the central Tucson water well field, we took action as a state anyway. Now, before I say anything else, I want to assure the public that their drinking water is safe. Tucson Water has shut down wells. They have taken a number of precautions to make sure that people are being delivered safe water. They have a very robust monitoring scheme to test for these compounds. But what we're doing at the state is this year we completed a remedial investigation where we installed wells to determine where the plume was. In parallel, we started designing a pilot system to treat that water and stop it from spreading any further. And in fact, right now we're just waiting for equipment delivery so that we can install a system that'll stop that plume, the plume that's near Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, from progressing any further so that we can stop it before it reaches the Tucson Water Central well field.
We're with Misael Cabrera this morning, the director of Arizona's Department of Environmental Quality. We're doing good on time. I have one other thing eventually that I want to get to, Mr. Cabrera, that came out yesterday from the governor's office. But I have a quick caller question that ties into a question that I do want to ask related to kind of the history of this, if you don't mind.
Sure, certainly.
Wonderful. Tony, thanks for hanging with us for a minute. What is your question for Mr. Cabrera this morning?
Thank you for taking my call, and a great show as usual. Very informative. I remember growing up in the South Side in the 70s, and we had TCE deposits from the Air National Guard, the Davis Mountain, and the Airport Authority, I believe. I could be wrong about that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to get it wrong. I want to get it right. But I do remember growing up with that issue. There was two or three, maybe four major lawsuits that were class action lawsuits against the city and the Airport Authority and other entities. And I do recall how there was politicians at that time that were poo-pooing it down, kind of minimizing it and saying, well, it's just the food those people eat. That's how bad it got politically. So you know, is this a continuation of that? Because is it different than the TCE solvents that were being dropped into the wells and affecting a lot of people on the south side?
Tony, thank you for your question. Misael, any thoughts on that context?
Yes. So there is a federal Superfund site associated with the Tucson airport area. In fact, there's a large remediation system to the northwest of the Tucson airport that's called the Tucson Area Remediation Project. And that system was initially installed to capture and treat TCE, PCE, and other daughter products associated with that federal Superfund site. That is also an area where we have recently found PFAS compounds. And so, fortunately, in that area of Tucson, there is a remediation system, and that remediation system is serving to capture those contaminants so they don't spread further. Having said that, these new contaminants put a very heavy operations and maintenance burden on Tucson Water, who operates that system, because now there's new contaminants that require additional monies in order to treat those new compounds. And so in speaking with Tucson Water, I understand that there's a fairly severe financial burden on Tucson Water right now in terms of treating those new compounds. The governor's letter towards the Department of Defense is actually encouraging faster action. The federal government often takes a very, very long time. And as the caller suggested, sometimes there's political debates and things like that. Well, what we've learned from the past 50 years of environmental restoration is that the faster that we act, the better off everyone is. And that's why in the Davis-Monthan area, where there is no remediation system, ADEQ took quick action. And in less than a year, we identified the area of contamination. We've designed a pilot treatment system. And now we're only waiting for equipment deliveries before we install that system.
Tony, thank you for your question, and Misael Cabrera, director of ADEQ, thank you for being with us. We could probably spend a lot more time on that, and this was the topic that we reached out to you about to discuss. But just yesterday, the governor signed House Bill 2691, implementing the Arizona Surface Water Protection Program by creating a list of rivers, streams, and lakes used for drinking, recreation, and fishing that are protected from harmful discharge of any pollutant. That is, again, as of yesterday, the governor signed that. Can you share about that? Can you speak to that bill and that signature by the governor, Mr. Cabrera?
Absolutely. This is incredibly beneficial legislation that was sponsored by Representative Griffin and signed by our governor that protects important Arizona waters that were left unprotected from the new federal definition of waters of the U.S. So in 2020, the federal government came up with a new definition under the Navigable Waters Protection Rule for what was federal jurisdiction versus what was state jurisdiction. And so under that new federal rule, many, in fact, hundreds of important Arizona waters were left without any protection at all. What this bill does, that was sponsored by Representative Griffin and signed by the governor, it protects those most important waters in a streamlined fashion that is responsive to local interests. I'm very excited about the new legislation, and DEQ will have to build a new program in order to support it.
Wonderful. I think that is good news. I agree with you. This is a very localized show. Misael Cabrera, director of ADEQ. We are very focused on Tucson and Southern Arizona, and we have a lot of folks on from the city, from the county, at the state level. And I was just getting messages in from neighbors who live in areas impacted by PFAS. What is the best way to report that? Is that a city issue? Is there an ADEQ place to report concerns? How do the different levels of government work on this as it really does impact a lot of our neighborhoods, certainly on the west and the south side of Tucson here?
Absolutely. So one thing that listeners can do is look on our website at azdeq.gov. We have an entire page dedicated to PFAS across the state. We have data reported there so people can see, you know, what areas have been impacted. The second thing that folks can do is contact their water provider and see if their water provider has tested recently for those compounds. We are asking water providers to do that testing, and we are doing testing as well. All of the data that we have available is located on our website, but we're asking folks to do that on a voluntary basis right now because there is no regulatory standard. And we're happy to report that all the systems that we've requested, either access so that we could sample or so that they would sample, have been willing to do so, and we're very happy about that. So the first thing is to inform themselves about the quality of their water. And if they have something to report or other questions, if they're connected to a water system, I would encourage them to call their water system first. If they're not having any luck there, they can certainly contact ADEQ, and we'll see how we can help.
Super. Misael, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. Talking about not one, but two water protection, pollutant contaminant protection efforts going on. Appreciate the news, the updates, but we should do this again soon.
Absolutely, Zach. Anytime.
Thank you, sir, so much. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
That does it for our show today. Again, you can catch up on any of the conversations on our podcast. We're going to head out today, but tomorrow we have Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick on the show for an update on legislation and work that obviously has national impact, but also what's being done here in Southern Arizona. That and more coming at you tomorrow. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon as we continue our live and local programming here on 1030 The Voice. This has been your drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay safe and healthy, Tucson.